Good evening and welcome along to this week's Sideline View with Owen Brennan and the distant James Lynch.
Can you hear me there? Can you? No?
Just about. I can hear you too clearly, to be honest. Lockdown is upon us once more, and it means that all but the adult intercounty championships remain on the GAA scene for the foreseeable future. However, it does mean that after a gap of almost 8 months, the Clare senior hurlers finally recommence on the double against neighbours Limerick in what is an unprecedented Munster's championship quarter-final National League final combo. The National League is also firmly to the forefront of the Clare footballers' minds as they embark on a must-win Division 2 showdown with Armagh tomorrow on home soil. Fittingly for all lockdowners in the Killaloe area, the ongoing development of Clarisford Park is an understandable source of pride, and especially in these difficult times, a perfect outlet for outdoor refuge. So we'll gain an insight into that fabulous East Clare sports hub as well over the next hour. And James, just to explain to listeners, you're waiting on your green card to return to the county during the lockdown, so you're joining us remotely this evening.
Yeah, just for this week, Owen. You know, I thought it best to stay in my bunker until... Yeah, until I was allowed back out.
Okay, officially. You actually sound like you're in space. Don't tell me that Pat Flynn has got you deported.
Yeah, nothing would surprise me with that bill at this stage. Yeah, space, all right. I've got plenty of space around me anyway at the moment. But anyway, the show must go on, and there's only one place to start. Despite the new lockdown, the Clare senior hurlers are bidding to lift the spirits of the county on Sunday, and they're led by the experienced Tullamh man, David McInerney, and he spoke with Owen earlier this week.
And you have the added honour of obviously leading Clare out for this kind of unique Munster Championship League final combo as the captain. I mean, that must be a kind of a dream come true in a lot of ways.
Sure, listen, any lad growing up in the county would have seen the 90s teams and seen Dale up there, and I think it was most lads' dreams to captain Clare someday. I suppose I'm in there by default. Our captain John had a bad injury early in the year, and I'd still consider him to be our leader at the minute, and all I'm really doing is going in for the coin toss, Owen, and still it's a great privilege, and hopefully we can get a bit of success as well to go with it.
Absolutely. And if your last captaincy under Brian Lawn is that to go by, the omens are good for Clare. You know, in 2015 you lifted the Fitzgibbon Cup for UL. I mean, for a player that spent a lot of time in the full back line, what's it like to be schooled by arguably the greatest fullback of all time?
Well, sure, listen, if you're not picking up a few things from him, there's something seriously wrong, like, because I'd say the whole country knows how good a player Brian was, and I was lucky to have him earlier in my career, and we had a good year that year, so hopefully, as you say, a few omens can line up again. But he's excellent, and he's working really well with us.
Yeah, you didn't ask to borrow his red helmet or anything for by any chance?
No, geez, I wouldn't do it any justice now, to be honest. None at all.
I suppose you said the reason you're his captain this Sunday is due to the unfortunate cruciate injury for John Connan, and I suppose injuries are kind of blighted Clare in recently anyway. So I mean, far from the momentum of the, you know, the league campaign, you were unbeaten back in January and February. It must almost seem like a new season now, and even probably a new look team that'll be lining out on Sunday.
Yeah, I suppose it is a little bit different, all right, Owen. As you say, it was a long time ago now since our last competitive game. Injuries have come into the case, we'll say. Even during the week, we could get unexpected news. Someone could come into contact with a COVID case. Mm. Like, we just don't know what's going to happen. And I'd say you'll see a lot of that happening in the hurling and football championships this year. You could see a lad being ruled out because of unfortunate events. Like, so I suppose that's what a panel is there for. We've 30 good lads in, and they're all eager to impress, and they'd all love to get the chance to play. So I see Fermanagh coming down to play Clare the last day. They had a small bench, but like, all them lads want to do their best for their county, and it'll be the same with every county, I think, in the country this year.
Yeah, I suppose with those kind of experienced absentees, like from the team that faced Cork in that famous 2013 All-Ireland final, there's less than a handful left available, and at the time Clare were considered a very young team. I mean, even at 27, do you feel like one of the more experienced players at the moment?
I have to say, no, I kind of would, to be honest. Like John, Donald Toohey, Pat O'Connor, and there's a few in there a little bit older than me, but not by much. So I suppose 27 is kind of the elder statesman age at the minute in this Clare team. But listen, we've young lads there, and they've wiser heads than some of us. Like, they're only in their early 20s, and I don't think age has anything to do with it, really. But as you say, we're fairly young at the minute, and hopefully that we can gain a bit of experience and push on now this year and see if we can make something of it.
Yeah. I mean, you obviously made your senior championship debut in 2013 in that opening Munster championship game against Waterford. You must have thought at the time this senior lacquer is easy after such a successful season.
Yeah, I suppose we were kind of blessed underage, really, to be honest, Owen. We had a right good set up there with Donald and Jerry, and we had a few very prosperous years under them. And then when we went in with Davey, it kind of just kept on rolling over, we'll say. So I suppose when you were 19, 20, you just thought that them days were going to last forever. But I think everyone really knows how hard it is to get back to that level every year, and it's not easy to get up them steps, or get up any steps, in fact.
Yeah. I was trying to work out your senior stats earlier, and I came to the conclusion that Sunday will be your 33rd senior championship match for Clare. But the biggest surprise for me anyway is that you've rated for 8 points in the championship. Considering you spent most of your time in the full back line, that must be a kind of a badge of honour.
Jeez, I don't know now. We'll have to ask Lohan how many he scored now. But, no, Jesus, I think that could have been just from times you might have been switched out or you were following a lad.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have always been in the full back line. You'd have a man-marking job and you might pop up with the odd one, but I wouldn't consider it a badge of honour at all now, to be honest.
I'll give you
33 games, though.
Yeah. I'll give you a better one to hammer home to the other panellists, because more than likely when you take the field on Sunday, you'll probably be Clare's third or fourth highest championship scorer on the team behind the likes of Tony Kelly and Shane O'Donnell and them. I mean, that's a bare achievement.
I'll tell you what, one, that is a bad sign. That doesn't make for good listening or good reading if you're reading them stuff.
Look, you'll have one over on your father anyway, I'd imagine, with 8 points, would you?
Oh, Jesus, I don't know. I won't ask him either. I won't get him. So,
I suppose looking at the your position this year, you've been operating in midfield, you know, in the early part of the year anyway. How much did you enjoy that new role before the lockdown?
Yeah, I suppose I did like it. It's kind of, when you're in the full back line, you know your job, it's very clear cut. Like, you have to stop your man. And you know when you're hurling well or you're hurling bad. Whereas I find midfield, some days you could come off the field thinking you've hurled bad, and when you look back on it, you didn't do too bad. And then other days you can think you were flying it, and you look back and there was a lot of things you were bad at. So yeah. I suppose earlier in the year I was just trying to get used to that and get used to the inter-county's pace of out the field, because it is a bit different club where I would have played a little bit. But no, I was starting to enjoy it, and I know we got locked out of training for a long time, but hopefully things can pick up again.
Yeah, you started as a forward for the minor, you went into the backs at under 21 and seniors, and now in midfield. I mean, all you're missing is a spill in goals to complete the set, I suppose.
Yeah, well, I won't get that anyway, definitely not. I'll be doing well to keep my place now for next Sunday and the day after. There's a lot of talent coming through, so trying to just make the pitch every day I can.
Yeah, I suppose getting back to reality and Sunday, Limerick are obviously going in as favourites. You know, they're the defending National League champions, All-Ireland winners as recently as 2 years ago. And at their best, they're formidable opponents, as we found out to our own cost last year.
Yeah, sure. Listen, they've been the farm team for the last 2 years, really. They won the league Munster last year. They were absolutely flying it. They had a tough battle with Kilkenny in the semi-final. And sure, listen, everyone knows what Kilkenny are like in Croke Park. They're a seriously formidable team. So I suppose over the past 2 years and the start of this year in the league, Limerick has the top team in the country, and they're rightly going into next Sunday as red hot favourites. And sure, listen, we'll try our best and we'll see how we get on. But as you say, they're a formidable team, and we'll see how it goes.
Yeah. And just finally then, I mean, you know, it is a unique occasion. I mean, I don't know if it had ever been done before that the Munster Championship has teamed up with being a combination with the league final as well. So I suppose it's about, obviously, you're just going out to win the game. And if you win it, you know, and you win a title, it's great as a bonus. But you'd be eager to try and take this opportunity with both hands, I suppose, you know, being knockout in the Munster Championship.
Oh, exactly. Sure. Listen, you want to win every game you go out and play, and the fact that there's a cup there next Sunday, like, you're obviously going to do everything you can to win, and as you say, it's a nice bonus then if it does come off.
Yeah, absolutely. Listen, David, thanks a million for coming on this evening, and very best of luck on Sunday when you're leading it out.
Cheers, Owen. Thanks a million.
New Clare senior captain David McInerney there ahead of Sunday's ultimate derby showdown with Limerick, which is part of a pivotal weekend of senior action that also includes Saturday's make or break National Football League Division 2 final round clash with Armagh in Cusick Park. And joining us to discuss both is freelance journalist Seamus Hayes. Seamus, I suppose before we get into those crunch ties, you know, first and foremost, we can probably count ourselves very lucky to have any sport at all, but it still is hugely disappointing for the likes of Dermot Coughlin and his minor football team, along with all the underage camogie and these football panels that have put in, I suppose, so much hard work over the pre, the during and the post-lockdown to see their championships, I suppose the official term is paused.
Yeah, it's very disappointing in that regard, and it's quite surprising that the 320 games scheduled for Wednesday night in Leinster were allowed to go ahead with the lockdown coming at midnight after. So, you know, it suggests that they're hoping to refix these fixtures later on in the year, which seems unlikely at this point.
They're talking about January, but I suppose it's very much up in the air. And look, even these lockdowns are very much in the air at the moment. So we'll have to just keep an eye out for that. Let's get on to what action is left for supporters. And undoubtedly, top of the bill is the Munster Senior Hurling Championship clash, / National League final between Clare and Limerick and Semple Stadium in Thurleston Sunday at 3:45. The stakes couldn't be any higher, really, Seamus, could they?
No, they're massively high. And, you know, I suppose for Clare hurling followers, the disappointment of the past week with the minors and the under-20s both knocked out of the championship, you know, it's the last remaining hope, you know, of some Munster glory in hurling. And the odds are very much, I suppose, seem to be stacked in Limerick's favour, going on recent performances and challenge games, etc., and going maybe on the farm in the club championships. You know, but it's a Clare-Limerick meeting. Clare-Limerick meetings are notorious for turning the farm book upside down. Favourites tend to come out at the wrong end of results, so I suppose all Clare fans will be hoping that, as Limerick are carrying the favourites tag at the moment, that would pertain again, that Clare would, would cause the upset this time. But it's difficult to see given the players that Clare are missing, like, you know, with Peter Duggan not involved this year, John Conlon out injured, Cullum Galvin out, Podge Collins gone from the panel, Aidan McCarthy, about whom there's a major doubt, although he'd be relatively new at this level anyhow. But, you know, we saw what the loss of a couple of key players meant to the under-20s the other night. And for Clare to have to pick a team, you know, without those guys, you know, even the physique of Peter Duggan and John Conlon, apart altogether for the hurling ability, is a massive loss to Clare.
Yeah, and considering a lot of those are all-stars as well, or former all-stars at least, yeah.
Well, Seamus, when you look at it, you know, a few years back, like, Clare were holding the upper hand against Limerick. And then last year, you know, we saw at the Gaelic grounds, I mean, how powerful Limerick can be and how strong they've become since, I suppose, that All-Ireland winning year.
Yeah, they really have become very strong. And, you know, it shouldn't be any maybe major surprise in one way, because with the involvement of the likes of Paul Kinnear, you know, whom we saw his value here in Clare in his time involved with the under-20s or under-21s and still then, and with the seniors, you know, that he has an awful lot to offer. And obviously, he has these lads well primed and in great condition, because that has been one of the comments, I suppose, for the past year about the physical condition of the Limerick players, perhaps altogether from their hurling ability, you know. And I suppose that's something that has to concern Clare, that what they're facing into. There are so many choices Limerick seem to have at the moment. But again, you know, we've seen it so often in the past, and I was speaking to Fergie too, you know, a member of the 95-97 All-Ireland winning sides, you know, and he was reminding me that it's practically every second year Clare Limerick, you know, and the 94 Limerick beat Clare, 95 Clare beat them in the Munster final, 96 Limerick returned the compliment to strictures of the All-Ireland title, you know, and on each of those occasions, probably the team that lost would have been carrying the favourites tag. So, you know, from that point of view, there is reason for Clare fans to be reasonably hopeful.
Yeah, I suppose in such a fragmented year, though, I mean, Clare, both teams were flying it, you know, in the National League, but particularly Clare under new management with Brian Lowe and his backroom team. I mean, they're unbeaten in the league and looking to be going so well. And then, as you say, that a couple of injuries, John Conlon starting out with it, and the lockdown, you know, for a new manager to try and identify new players and blood new players and even settle on a particular game plan is difficult, as opposed to John Kiely, who knows his players inside out for the last 4 years.
Yeah, that's a very valid point, Owen, you know, and as you say, like it would say, maybe there was a lot of doubt about how Clare might perform at the start of the year there, but they had really done remarkably well in the league, unbeaten, and as we see, this is a league final as well as a Munster Championship quarter final. But since the resumption of activity after the lockdown there at the beginning of September, things haven't kind of gone as well maybe for Clare, and maybe in one or two of those challenge games they mightn't have had everybody, they mightn't have had a full squad available, which would have maybe upset their plans a small bit as well. Whereas Limerick really have been buzzing, and they have been buzzing over the last couple of weeks, and the reports of a challenge game between themselves and Galway there 2 or 3 weeks ago, and that Limerick replaced all six forwards for the second half, and that they had what would be considered the first try six in the opening half, and the six that played in the second half were supposed to have been every bit as impressive. You know, so I kind of show the talent that they have at their fingertips at the moment. And, when you look at it, and they have most of the team that won the All-Ireland 2 years ago available to them, practically all of them. Whereas somebody I saw a stat there yesterday that only four of the 2013 All-Ireland winning team are involved with Clare now. Yeah. You know, which is kind of surprising, really. It's only a few years down the road.
And they were considered a young team at the time.
They were considered a very young team at the time.
Yeah. I suppose, Seamus, like when you look at it, you know, Limerick are coming into this match. They're the defending National League champions, and this is a de facto league final. They're defending Munster champions as we go into the first round of the Munster Championship. You know, what are Clare going to have to do to upset them on the field? I mean, where do you think will Brian Lowe be looking to have his team upset, I suppose, the odds and put them in their own favour?
Well, judging on what we've been hearing recently, I think, you know, Clare, a very important point for Clare on Sunday would be to cut off the supply to the Limerick forward line. You know, there are question marks about maybe how settled the Clare defence is, and the opposite is the case with relation to the Limerick forward line, which is supposed to be exceptionally strong with loads of options. So, like the supply to that forward line will have to be cut off, and Clare will have to try and test the Limerick backline, because if Limerick are going to be without two of their first choice full backline of recent times with English and Casey out, you know, Clare are going to have to try early on to test how good the replacements will be or who will be in there. Probably the likes of Shane O'Donnell and Aaron Shanahan and Armin Cunningham, maybe our fellas that have been mentioned who could be in the full foul line. All fellas, you know, that have shown in the past what they're capable of, and fellas that have shown that they can cause problems for the best of defences. So I think, you know, Clare will be hoping to get ball into these lads very early in the game and maybe strike early and put questions in the minds of the Limerick defences what they're up against.
Absolutely. And I'm reading between the lines there, you mean goals. We'll need goals. Oh, and those three boys can certainly provide them on their day anyway.
We need goals. And like the other thing, I suppose, there's a lot of excitement maybe about what some lads would maybe would call a slightly new-look midfield pairing, and Tony Kelly and David McInerney. Yeah. David has played most of his hurling in recent times in defence, but, you know, they're two skillful, powerful hurlers, and if they can get a grip at midfield, it could set Clare up for a chance of winning this game and going through to face Tipperary a week later.
Brilliant, yeah. 24 hours earlier, the Clare Senior Footballers National League Division 2 fate will be known as they host Armagh in Cusick Park on Saturday at 2 p.m. in what is another must-win tie. In a remarkably tight division, only 2 points separate second from seventh ahead of the final round of matches. Clare completed back-to-back pre- and post-lockdown victories last Sunday with a 2-point victory over Fermanagh, who are now relegated. But while it's all to play for at either end of the table, consolidating our status is obviously the primary focus. And a victory for Clare, Seamus, does ensure that, regardless of the other results, doesn't it?
It certainly does, yeah. Victory will certainly ensure Division 2 football next year, and possibly could well put Clare in line for a look at Division 1. You know, as you mentioned there, it's that tight. Now, the other side of it is, I suppose, Armagh will be disappointed at having lost to Roscommon last week. You know, haven't got into that game as division leader, and they will know that they need to win if they are going to achieve their target of getting up to Division One. So one can expect a very strong challenge from them coming down here. You know, there is a huge amount to play for, and the primary focus has to be consolidating Division Two status for next year, because apart from being in Division Two league next year, the new format of championship is coming in, and you need to be in the top two divisions to be assured of competing for the Sam Maguire Cup.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I suppose, Seamus, when you consider it was the first day out in 7 months, how would you rate the team's performance, I suppose, against...
Well, yeah, look, they were a little rusty, there's no doubt about that, but they improved as the game went on. And the high point, or the plus for me, was the changes that were made in the second half, or rather the fellas who were introduced in the second half. You know, to be able to bring in Gary Brennan, David Tuberty, Podge Collins, Sean Collins, Kevin Hartnett, five fellas who were central to all the progress Clare football would have made up from Division 4 up to Division 2 over the last 4 or 5 years. And to have those available now again, when there were fears maybe at the a few weeks ago that you know, that we mightn't have had many or any of those. You know, to have those back to certainly a massive, massive boost. And obviously I'd expect that they will see more game time this week. And you know, there's a strong squad there, and I suppose you have to have a strong squad nowadays, and you have to be able to look at the bench and say, we have fellas there who can cover, you know, should something go wrong, and a player would seem are in that position at the moment. So from that point of view, you know, I think they have a very strong chance. And you know, the Gary Brennans of this world and Jamie Malone back, Podge Collins, these fellas, they will want to show that they can match Armagh. You know, it's only a couple of years ago since they matched Armagh in the Athletic grounds, and you know, they've had good games with them over the years, and they have never been found wanting. Like, you know, the results might have gone either way, but there's very little between them, and you know, I think that'll be the case again on Saturday.
I think even without a crowd, the home advantage too is a good thing, you know.
It is, of course. Like, you know, the Clareless know QZ Park well, and you know, it's a fantastic pitch, and I've never seen it as good as it has been the past year, surface-wise and everything. But, you know, it will be still strange for Armagh, you know, coming into a venue that they wouldn't be, you know, that they wouldn't be overly used to. So, you know, I think Clare would have an advantage there straight away.
Yeah. As mentioned, like, there's so many permutations in this division.
The one thing I'd say, that one thing Clare would be hoping for is that it doesn't come down to score difference, because as it is, as of now, they would be struggling a bit in the score difference. You know, Clare, Kildare and Cavan are level on points at the moment. And on score difference, Clare would be the worst of the three. Now, if Clare were to lose, and hopefully they won't, obviously, but if Clare were to lose and one of those two lost, then Clare would still be okay, because they have both those on a head-to-head.
Yeah.
Provided there's only two teams level on points, you know, two of that three level on the same points. With Clare involved, then Clare would be okay as well. You know, Laois are going to Fermanagh. A lot of people are worried that because Fermanagh were beaten last week, or were relegated last week, that they may not be too interested in the game. I don't accept that. I think Fermanagh will really be going all out, because they have an Ulster Championship game coming up a week later. And, you know, they looked lively enough last week, and, you know, they weren't that far off the mark. And I think they will want to get points on the board, even though they have been relegated. They will want to get a boost ahead of the Championship. So I don't think that is a given that Laois might win that. I think they're earning it up there.
Yeah. Looks like we're in for a really interesting afternoon on Saturday, because, you know, we'll be keeping an ear out for all the other results and looking at Twitter and all that kind of thing, as well as watching how Clare get on. But obviously, as we said before, if we win, it's all safe.
The exciting thing is people will be watching the Clare game, and they'll be watching the others. They're all on at the same time.
Yeah.
So then people will be hopping from Twitter to telephone to the other television stations and things, you know, all at the same time. It'll be an afternoon for channel hopping for that hour and a half.
Absolutely. And fingers crossed that both flagship teams can put it out of the fire this weekend. And if you happen to be sitting by the fire on either day, you can tune in to Clare FM as well to hear live commentary from Saturday's National Football League tie between Clare and Armagh, with Sil O'Connor and Joe Gary from 155. And Sunday's Munster Hurling Championship clash or which also doubles up as the National League final between Clare and Limerick from 3:30 with Sil and Tommy Guilfoyle. So no excuse to miss even a second of the action. We've almost missed out on our break slot, so our thanks to Seamus as always for his insight, and we'll be back with a brand new East Clare development after the break.
The crowd goes quiet. He steps up. It's a big moment for him. He puts the key in the door and he's in! Yes! Another happy customer from DNG O'Sullivan Hurley. Proud sponsors of Clare FM's Sideline View.
You're very welcome back to Sideline View here with myself, James Lynch, and Owen Brennan. And Owen, we're going to have a wee chat about a sporting facility out in East Clare that I suppose we haven't covered much about, and we haven't heard, people haven't heard a huge amount about, but they've had some great developments in recent years, and particularly this year with a running track. Clarisford Park in Killaloe, it's a hub for sports and activities in East Clare. In recent months, yeah, the development of a proper 200 metre running track and athletic space, in addition to the already in place playing fields and walking slash running trail. It's a real amenity in Killaloe, and it has grown from a wooded area beside Lower Loch Derg to kind of a vibrant sporting centre, and it's catered to plenty of clubs and community groups. So joining us now on Sideline View is Joss Lowry. He's been on the committee for Clarisford Park since the beginning. Joss, very welcome to the show.
Thank you, James.
I suppose, Joss, you might kind of begin by telling us about the idea behind and the original development of Clarisford Park.
Yes, James. We all know, and especially you'd be familiar with Killaloe, that there was a dearth of facilities available in Killaloe. And I have to go right back to Keith Wood's testimonial dinner when he retired from playing rugby. His testimonial dinner was held in the Burlington Hotel back around 2003, 2004. And Woody's dedicated all the profits to some favourite charities of his, like the Special Olympics and the Injured Players Trust, the Charitable Trust. And I was so glad to hear him nominating his hometown of Killaloe for to help with youth facilities. They were the very words he used that night. With that background, when the lands at Clarisford became available, and it took some time for that to happen because the lands are owned by the ESB, and the ESB leased it to Clare County Council, and then it became available to us. So that was around 2008, 2009.
Okay.
So from that then, we in the knowledge that Keith was bringing cash to the table, we basically knew we could realise a dream.
Yeah.
So from that on, we started to work. And because there's about 30 acres altogether in the park, of which 17, 18 acres of it is an SAC, because that's a special area of conservation, because it runs along the edge of the River Shannon. As we progressed and started developing a planning application, we literally, because of certain constraints, we had to employ seven different professional disciplines before we could go for planning. But we did go for planning, and in January 2012, we were granted planning. So the planning application got through, and we commenced the development. We had done a feasibility study at the outset, under the banner of two towns, one community, because of Ballina growing rate even than Killaloe on the Clare side of the river. So the feasibility study, with that in mind, about two towns, one community, we conducted that, and that told us a lot. It was good from a consultation point of view of speaking with all the different varied groups right across the two communities, and they didn't. In the end, we knew. The major things was the Scouts had no home, the soccer club had no home, the rugby club had no home.
Yeah.
So, and we knew that without a feasibility study, but and we needed that to back us up going to funders or wherever we had to go afterward. We needed the proof that what we were talking was sensible, shall we say. So Having picked off with that, with an open space of about 5 acres for the Boy Scouts, a top-class rugby pitch, a top-class soccer pitch, and that was the start, and we would add in a pavilion. We literally could have opened the park in 2015, and we officially opened it 4 years ago, almost to the week, in 2016. So our 15-year vision for realising the dream and our business plan was absolutely concise into 4 years, which was a marvellous achievement.
And must be very much worth the wait. I mean, it's a beautiful location and all that. You must be hugely proud to have, you know, achieved what you've achieved so far, I suppose, from small acorns, big oak trees grow.
With the risk of boasting, yeah, we're immensely proud of what we've achieved in such a short space of time. And, I mean, the secret was, basically, with the Woody Foundation, the 002 Foundation, Woody had brought the money to the table, and we literally could eyeball the funders then. And our first stop was the Clare Local Development Company in Ennis. And it was great to go up there and sit across from them and tell them, we want X and we have the 25%, no problem, you know?
Yeah.
Which they fund 75% for community thing. And they were wonderful, Clare Local Development Company. If you have your plan down properly, they literally take you by the hand and they walk you through the project. And we couldn't speak highly enough of CLDC, or Clare Local Development Company, as we're known. So they weren't just the only funder. We had the 002 Foundation, which gave us that collateral to eyeball anybody we liked. And we had funding from the J.P. McManus Foundation. We've had funding from a few other the Capital Sports grants. We got some, well, not very much. We've got some from the Capital Sports, which is a lot of money. And we've got local sponsorship as well. So we literally sailed through without pushing out the digging board,
yeah,
shall we say, we as a group. But then the business model we built it on with the stakeholders like the Scouts, the soccer and the rugby, they had to buy into our not alone our viewpoint, but financially. So we put a burden on them of circa 50 grand each.
Yeah.
Give or take, around that. And they had to go out and rattle the box to fundraise that kind of money. And they were very successful because they did it together. They joined forces, and instead of one box at one side of the gate and another box at the other side of the gate, it was the one box that were rattling all the time.
Yeah.
So that was a great help as well. And again, that's where partnership and all that comes in big time into a project of this magnitude, you know.
I suppose, Joss, for yourself personally, you know, you'd have some fond memories of playing rugby with Bill and Al Killaloo in the original pitch that was down the road from there. So, I mean, it's kind of great to see the club back in the same area again and with great facilities available to them now.
It's wonderful. It's wonderful to see all the clubs, like, you know, having their membership boosted by the facilities they had,
yeah,
you know, and the management of those groups in relation to timing of use of the pavilion and all of that. The pavilion basically consists of four changing rooms, the referee's room, the administration office, the little tiny kitchen, and an intergenerational fitness studio stroke hall. And between the Scouts using that hall, and they were anyway the sixth largest group, of which you were one of them one time, Jim.
I was.
If I recall, sixth largest group in Ireland. So they needed a place to do their business literally 5 nights a week and using the hall of that. But they can do that now. And we can, Callister Park, who manages the overall complex, we can let out the hall during the day or the evening, the Scouts are using it. And we have a very simple and sophisticated boat booking system, which is new, up on a new website only during the week, with Caroline Madden's direction, having been doing all the administration to date. Yeah, it's incredible, the boost in membership.
And hopefully we'll get all back to that sporting side of things again.
Again.
I suppose the park is also home to Loch Dorg FC and the Dorg Athletics Club now. They have some support facilities available to them. I mean, can you tell us about that particular development, the running track and the athletic space?
In Clarkford Park was the catalyst for a number of different organisations going using the park. The tri club may be set up, but here was a track they could train around on top of, but it was a catalyst for Dorg FC setting up. So they weren't there in time for them to be a shareholder or stakeholder from day one with the rugby, the soccer and the scouts. But the rugby had a training patch, which they kindly relinquished their lease on, gave it back to Carlisle Park, and we released it to Dorg Athletic Club. Again, being, Carlisle Park was the catalyst for the Athletic Club. And the Athletic Club gave it up to 300. Unbelievable. Of all ages, definitely intergenerational.
That's that sort of thing, you know. You want to see all generations and all age groups making use of the park, Joss, and that, you know, it's important for the community maybe to get and to stay active. I mean, aside from, I suppose, the clubs themselves, I mean, do you think has there been a visible increase in the people getting out to the park for a walk or a run just of their own accord since it opened?
Oh, well, the ad hoc people, we call them, and the ad hoc people from Clare County Council did a traffic survey last year, and we were shocked. We did not believe it, James. The park has visitors, 3,000 visitors a week. Granted, there's an element of duplication when James Lynch drops his kid down to training, goes back to collect them and goes away again. There'd be a bit of duplication there. But even at that, 3,000 users a week is phenomenal.
Oh, it's super.
Like, there's so many groups and activity going down there, and I suppose you've only a finite amount of space in the park itself. Do you have, like, further development plans for the park or its environments in terms of activities and sports in the coming years?
We're at our limit in relation to space now. And the great thing is, when the rugby club relinquished their training patch, and the athletic club are now stakeholders in there with us, there's no more space, outdoor space, available, except the walkway around and the bit of woodland that was not on the SAC, but was a bit of the informal garden attached to Carlisle Palace.
Yeah.
And it was totally overgrown with invasive species like Japanese knotweed and laurel. And we have done a fantastic job on the knotweed. We're at it since 2012, and we're almost there. And if you visit the park, you'll see pictures of what it looked like then and what it looks like now. In race. We haven't got rid of it totally, but we certainly are well in control of it. The other thing I suppose I should mention to you is the park also has a natural playing surface, a floodlit natural playing surface down there for training and all that. It's sand-based and whatever. And that is where the actual 3G pitch, the artificial pitch, was to go. And we looked at the whole thing, concept, and we decided we should approach the St. Anne's Community College and Clare VEC, as they were at the time, maybe that we'd lease a patch of land from them and we would develop our artificial surface up there where the school for the PE classes wouldn't have to go 700 metres to it and 700 metres back. So the 3G pitch is located immediately beside the school's playing field. And the school have the use of that during school hours. And it's the only place, one of the two things that we earn a few bob from is when it's to all the clubs and groups. The clubs, all the stakeholder clubs have reduced rates whereas the ad hoc people will pay full rate.
Yeah.
And for anyone that I suppose is interested in it, you know, look up www.claresfordpark.ie. You know, it's a fabulous facility and a great website, and you can check out the booking options there as well.
All the booking options. It's a new website has gone up, and it's very user friendly, I have to say, you know. And of course, James, I shouldn't let the opportunity pass without mentioning our most recent acquisition, which is a bathhouse. Now, the bathhouse has been built by Clare County Council on our property as a pole runner to the bridge crossing.
And just so people know, it's a house for bats as opposed to a bathhouse like the Turks would have.
I thought you did a spa going.
Joke down in Telford Park. No, I mean, when you say to people it's a bathhouse, can we take a bat there?
so it's for the place, I suppose, the disturbing of habitat that bats in the area have been living in when the new bridge is being built there.
That's why it is there. But it adds value to the park.
Joss, it's really great to have a kind of a positive community story on the show, especially in 2020. And I mean, I have to say thank you so much for joining us. And we definitely look forward to seeing the future stars of rugby, soccer and obviously athletics now coming out of East Clare and Killaloe and Ballina. So that's what we're looking forward to seeing after hearing this.
Yeah, and James, a very important thing that I didn't touch on, in relation to the business model, people found it hard to understand, and they thought this is going to be a very intricate business. Not at all. And I say to community groups out there, it's the way forward.
Yeah.
You know? And a lot of people have commented that, and we've had visitors from afar, similar community groups to ourselves in small towns have come. And they've looked at it to try and base themselves on the model, on the same model. Rather than having a soccer club going away, find a home, the rugby club find a home, the scouts find a home. And, you know, depending on the size of land you have, you literally could accommodate all the different sports.
Yeah.
We couldn't accommodate cricket even though we were approached, James. But I think it's an important point for community groups out there that you can manage a project which is now valued at close on 3 million euro. You can manage a project like that with good people who are dedicated and have a skill set and have a partnership with the Clare County Council, the Waterways Ireland, and the National Parks and Wildlife Service. And that's what it's all. It's key to the whole thing in moving forward.
So as Owen said, anyone else kind of keen on doing something similar in their local communities or investigating the idea of doing something similar in local communities is well worth looking at the claresfordpark.ie website. And I'm sure if you make contact, that the likes of Joss and Caroline will be happy to have a chat and give you guidance, etc., on how to go about doing something similar in your own communities. Joss, look, we could chat to you all day, but obviously we're under pressure in terms of ad breaks, etc. But thank you so much for coming on and telling us a little bit about the community initiative that is Claresford Park. And sure, look, hopefully it'll go from strength to strength, as I say, and we'll see future internationals in many sports coming out of it.
Thank you very much. We got to go to break, a bit like the bats themselves. We're winging it here for the last part, so we got to go take a break, but we'll be back in a couple of minutes.
We're coming into the last stretch of Clare FM's Sideline View Stakes, and DNG O'Sullivan Hurley are pushing hard now as they head towards the home stretch, and it's DNG O'Sullivan Hurley that are going to take the title of number one estate agents in County Clare, followed by Don Roman. DNG O'Sullivan Hurley, the Clare winners.
Welcome back to the final part of this week's Sideline View, where we now look ahead. There's a bit of rugby, obviously, coming up. Eight months on, once again, the Six Nations regroups and returns to our screens for both the men's and the women's games. So on Saturday, that is tomorrow, obviously, at 3:30, Ireland take on Italy in Lansdowne Road. And then later on in the evening, the match in Lansdowne Road at 3:30 is on television, obviously, on Virgin Media. Then later on in the evening at 6:30, Ireland women take on Italy, and I believe that'll be on RTE at 6:30 live from Energia Park. And then, of course, on Sunday, Connacht are away to Edinburgh Sunday evening. That's going to be a tough old game. That's live on Air Sport with highlights on Monday evening on TG Car. And then Monday, Munster are at home to Cardiff Blues in Thomond Park, and that one is live on TG Car. So plenty of sport. I mean, on, you know, it's only, there may be lockdown, but for some reason we seem to be getting busier.
Yeah, and you're definitely showing your age there by calling it Lansdowne Road anyway.
I'm just sticking with it, Owen. I'm sticking with it.
Yeah, so that's it, James. You can take off your spacesuit now and relax by the TV for the weekend.
Yeah, there's, like I said, plenty to be sitting down and watching anyway.
Yeah. And best of luck to all three Clare sides this weekend. And we've another packed weekend of Intercounty Fair to come for Halloween, don't we?
Yeah, as you said, it's getting scarily busy, Owen, despite the fact that there's a lockdown.
The puns have started already. That's our cue to go. Until next week, good night.
Good night.